again, I've run very successful Google Ads campaigns, but Google itself is a selfish and unreliable partner. They could change something like that, their policies, and they're not going to tell you about it. It's just going to happen. All of a sudden, your ad groups are down and you're just kind of left in the dust. And we're not high spenders, therapists, right? We're not like these other companies that have hundreds of thousands of dollars in ad spends every month, right? Maybe a couple thousand dollars. So we're not Google's priority, right? So that always freaks me out a little bit when working with Google. And that's kind of why, like, SEO, we're kind of like behind the scenes, more kind of like, ooh, how are they working? Because I don't work for them. I don't even work with them. I kind of work against them.
Welcome to Money Skills for Therapists, the podcast that helps therapists and health practitioners in private practice go from money confusion and shame to calm, clarity, and confidence with their finances. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by numbers or avoided looking at your business money, you're in the right place. I'm Lindsay Bonham, therapist turned money coach and creator of Money Skills for Therapists. Before we jump in, check out my free on-demand masterclass. You'll find the link in the show notes or at moneynutsandbolts.com under masterclass. It's the best first step to finally feeling empowered with money in your private practice. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today's guest is Christy Plantinga. She is a mental health marketer who lives in Colorado. She's the founder of Place Digital, which was formerly known as Therapy SEO, and is a marketing agency that serves specifically therapists and coaches. Today, Christy and I talk about the digital marketing space. We get into SEO and Google Ads and who are those for and how do they work. We talk about the importance of Google in terms of the way that folks access the internet and the importance of being able to work with Google as it is. We talk about return on investment. Both, we talk about how soon you can expect to see a return on your investment when you are spending money on marketing, but also how do you calculate return on investment and how do you know whether somebody who's come to you has actually come from this marketing activity or that marketing activity. And we also talked about the best forms of marketing, whether you are just starting your solo practice or growing a solo practice or growing a good practice. There's different levels of marketing that Christy suggests, which is really helpful to hear. Here's my conversation with Christy Plantinga. So Christy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I am excited for this conversation too. I feel like I have a lot that I can learn from you, and I'm planning to learn from you during this conversation. No pressure, just so you know, about the marketing space, because this is certainly not my favorite part of business. And I've joked before when I go to like hire a marketing coordinator that I'm always like, so you like marketing?
Like, I don't believe you.
Like, yeah, I'm like, are you safe? Like, blink once if you need help. Like, because it's certainly not what lights me up. I mean, I love doing this podcast, which is a certain kind of marketing activity, but that general kind of world, I think is certainly not where my strengths are, right? So it's always like lovely to talk with folks who have just like different brains, different strengths, like different passions. And marketing for therapists is what you do.
Yeah, it's all I do. You know, we work with therapy practices and rehab centers, but we're solidly in the mental health space, as unique as it is, as ever-changing it is. We specifically focus on website design, but SEO primarily. So all our wagons are hitched to the Google horse.
You know? Right, I know.
So it's interesting to see how the healthcare industry and how people search and how Google wants people to search and how Google wants to make money, how that interacts with how my team does what we do to get our clients to grow their businesses. So it's all very interconnected. And yeah, really? I love it. So that's why I'm here. But
Yeah. I mean, it really does make me think like it kind of is like Google's universe and we just live in it at this point in terms of the internet.
Yeah.
They really are like the gateway to the internet.
I mean, it's definitely, I think, the most used platform across all demographics, all ages. And it's never going anywhere. I think there's always a lot of panic, you know, oh my gosh, people are using TikTok more and ChatGPT. Totally. Those things are search engines. And it's always something that my team and I think about and how we can, you know, incorporate to the work that we do. But one reason that I think Google is always a solid investment is they are so motivated to make search work because it is at least 90% of their revenue. comes from mostly Google Ads, but still the search engine as a whole. Like that's really their money maker, and they're one of the biggest companies in the world. So they're motivated to make it work, right? So I think there's always going to be a path forward on Google for therapists. But as you know, the AI overviews come out, I think it's called AI mode or something that they're experimenting with now. It's all going to be change and different, but the core principles of how I think people will be ranked will stay similar because this is like an algorithm that's been developing for decades, right? So of course they're going to have, you know, crazy algorithm updates in my team, you know, where we just observe and figure it out for a while, but yeah, Google's not going anywhere.
Hey, group practice owner. Do you sometimes wonder if you made a mistake by starting a group practice? If so, you need my free guide, How to Stop Feeling Overworked and Underpaid in Your Group Practice. In this guide, you'll learn about how your money story is showing up in your relationship with money as a group practice owner. You'll learn the four keys to becoming the empowered financial leader of your group and the chief financial officer skills, those CFO skills that you need to create a healthy, sustainable group practice that will support you, your team, and your community for years to come. Plus, by getting the guide, you will definitely hear about it when doors open for my 6-month course, Money Skills for Group Practice Owners, for our 2026 cohort. To get the guide, go to moneynutsandbolts.com/overworked or click on the link in the show notes. That's moneynutsandbolts.com/overworked.
Yeah, I know if I think about my own internet usage, Google is the way into the internet for me. And I've started using Google Gemini also to play, especially for accounting questions. I would love to have an accountant that just lives on the couch behind me that I could just ask my questions of like, okay, wait a second. So on the balance sheet, how would this kind of transaction show? So my backup is Google Gemini. I get to ask it accounting questions, which is still Google. Like they certainly dominate the space and there's a lot of money and a lot of really, really smart people who are very invested in making sure that it stays the number one search engine.
Yeah.
So yeah, certainly lots to be said about making Google work for you. So, you know, something, Christy, that I see a lot with group practice owners specifically, where they have to make sometimes some really big decisions around marketing, you know, like these, which marketing path they're going to go down, how much they're going to spend, as they're trying to fill not just themselves, but many clinicians, right? Like as solo practitioners, our responsibility, our need is to fill ourselves, to fill one clinician. As group practice owners, they may need to fill 10 clinicians or 20 clinicians, right? So there's these really big decisions they have to make about marketing. As we even just think about the kind of like investment side, how much should group practice owners, group practices be investing in their marketing?
Yeah. And it's such a tough thing to think about, right? Because every practice is different, every market is different. So, you know, I could never come up with an exact figure. But what I will say is I've noticed a cycle, I think, for group practice owners that they can sometimes fall into. And that's where, you know, they don't really have a ton of marketing in place. Maybe it's their own reputation, or maybe a Facebook post in a local group kind of takes off, and then they get this flurry of inquiries. Great. But they realize they need to hire someone to accommodate those people. So they hire someone. But that flurry of inquiries just isn't enough to fill that caseload. And so then they'll kind of, oh shoot, I need to do some marketing here really quick to fill this person's caseload. But a lot of times, those kind of smaller ad hoc investments don't really pan out. And so either maybe they'll get another client or two for their employee, or maybe they'll just kind of be out of, you know, on the investment altogether. And those things certainly add up, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 here over time. That really adds up if you think about it. And then by the end of it, they, you know, start with this company, they invest however much. And then a lot of times, like, they're not even full. Like the clinician isn't even full. So then the clinician has to make the tough decision. Hey, I can't do this. I have a family. I have a livelihood that I need. So they leave and then the cycle starts again, right? So I definitely think if you want, you know, sustainable growth, thinking about I'm not thinking about my practice surviving the next 6 months. I'm thinking about how this is going to be my life and my lifestyle and my business for 5 years. I think investments should more reflect that. Could I just spread this out kind of ad hoc over time, or should I just commit to something and work with a company that I really trust and they have results that they can show me that this has worked? I'm more partial to that just because I think so much a part of owning any business, definitely a group practice, is that founder well-being. That's also kind of a meter that can run very, very low.
Oh, yeah.
If you're always experiencing this, because I understand not liking marketing. Believe me, I have felt that many times when people come to our doors, they're like, I don't want to do this. But you know, we get it. You know, yeah. We're not everyone's favorite, favorite people to contact. But I think just for peace of mind and actual sustainable growth over time, it's profitable. That's not going to drive you crazy. When you're thinking about your business in the future, it's better, I think, to just really commit to something, go all in. Again, with a company you trust that has a proven track record, and then do that instead of just 5,000 here, 5,000 here, 5,000 here. It's probably not going to work, or it's just going to take you a really long time to get where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the difference between a reactive approach and a proactive approach.
Exactly.
Right. If you want to be in this business long term, if you're not planning to close your doors in 6 months, then what is this work that has to happen ongoingly to create that ongoing demand for your services? And in a business mastermind that I'm in, somebody the other day said, whenever things are quiet now, she thinks about what was I not doing 6 months ago? And I was like, that is very interesting. Because there is a long game here too with marketing, right? Like, it's not always this fast thing. And I think with Google Ads, I'm curious your perspective on this. With Google Ads, what I do see is there can be this illusion, maybe it's not an illusion, but it can be more instant gratification feeling. You're like, I spent this, I got this, this is my results. And I certainly know for us, when our Facebook ads have been working, it's like that. It's like, I spent 5,000, I made 20,000. Like, wow. It's almost like feels like a machine that you're just like putting money in and, you know, you put $1 in, $4 comes out. That's not very typical though. And I'm curious, like, what do you tend to tell folks about setting expectations for timeframes, or like, how do you think about marketing and when we should expect to see returns from the activities that we're doing?
Yeah. And, you know, marketers love to say it depends, especially people, you know, in the SEO field.
Yes, of course.
You know, therapists like to say that too. So
yes. Everybody says that.
But, you know, I think it depends primarily on the type of marketing that you're doing. You're right, with kind of the advertising, whether it's Meta ads or Google ads, it does feel a little bit like a slot machine. Kind of you put it in and crank the lever and then, ooh, it worked, or maybe it didn't.
Yes.
And my only thing with Google ads, I know some group practices, they just do Google ads. They're happy. They love it. No notes. My issue with Google ads that I've experienced, and this isn't to say it's the same for everyone. Again, I've run very successful Google ads campaigns, but Google itself is a selfish and unreliable partner. They could change something like that, their policies, and they're not going to tell you about it. It's just going to happen. All of a sudden your ad groups are down and you're just kind of left in the dust. And we're not high spenders, therapists, right? We're not like these other companies that have hundreds of thousands of dollars in ad spends every month, right?
Yes.
Maybe a couple thousand dollars. So we're not Google's priority, right? So that always freaks me out a little bit when working with Google. And that's kind of why, like, SEO, we're kind of like behind the scenes. How are they working? Because I don't work for them. I don't even work with them. I kind of work against them.
Right.
And we're like very scrappy people at my team. So we kind of like that, you know, like
I get
like
it.
The feeling of kind of figuring it out and rely on Google and their whims and stuff. And we do to a certain extent because it's our job. But I think, again, especially with a group practice, because you just have so much more responsibility in terms of the livelihoods, the families that you're supporting, thinking about something more sustainable, more long-term is the way to go. SEO traditionally, that can have a longer turnaround. But there are certainly things that at least my team does where we can, you know, get people, clients certainly within a couple months. And sometimes that's typical for a Google Ads campaign as well. If it takes time to kind of figure out the market, optimize the campaign, tweak the landing page, who knows? So I think timelines can actually be similar with SEO if you're doing certain things, which is something that my team always prioritizes, because we know that it's not fun to have to wait for results. And it doesn't feel good when you're spending money and you're not getting that fun slot machine back. Totally. You don't get that with SEO necessarily. But I just always encourage practice owners to think about, let's not think about where you want your practice to be in 3 months, although that can be very exciting. And there's, you know, lots of stuff we can do during that time. But what about 1 year from now? Where do you want to be? So I think it's more about perspective in terms of that. But when you're working with a marketing company, because it really is all about results. It's about, did I get a return on the investment that I put into this? It's the most important thing, really, when you're working with a marketing company. A lot of times I see marketing companies do this. And then, of course, you know, the therapists or other clients that come to them focus on this as well. It's kind of this deliverables focus. What deliverables am I getting? How many pieces of content am I getting? How many backlinks am I getting? Stuff like that. More focus on like, what are you actually going to get me in the result? Because I could create you 12 pieces of mental health content within an hour with an AI, right? Or I can make you one really, really good one. So let's not compare deliverables because it's more about what's ranking, what's working. So that's kind of where I'm really just big on is, who are you working with and what are this kind of outcomes they've seen for practices like yours? What are the things that they're seeing working now? Have they updated their strategies in the last year, which is important, like minimum a year. We update our strategies, it feels like every 3 months at this point, just because of Google. So yeah, not an exact idea on timelines, but I would say with Google Ads, probably within 2 months, and with SEO within 6 months, you should be seeing traction.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is helpful to know in terms of setting your patience and expectations appropriately, right? Because again, I think the instant gratification has permeated our culture. You know, we're so used to like, totally. Oh, here's something on Amazon. Oh, it showed up the next morning before I even got out of bed, right? There has been this real distortion of the idea of kind of cause and effect and marketing. I mean, an analogy that I like to use when I think about marketing is like you're planting seeds. And seeds don't come up right away. But when you plant lots of seeds, it's amazing of how many of them do come up, you know, within like 6 months, a year. I have folks sometimes that are around listening to the podcast and on my email list for 4 years before it's the right time for them to buy, right? And every time that I'm putting something out to them that like resonates and helps them feel like, oh yeah, this person really could help me when the time is right, I'm maintaining that connection. But if I was looking for instant results, I would be disappointed. Because that's just not really how I think business works in the long term, right? So I love that emphasis that you have on thinking about 5 years, because I've certainly experienced that being in the business now for 5 years, I see so many returns on things that I did years and years ago. But at that time, it seemed like nothing was happening.
Yeah. And there probably was not anything happening. Like exactly like you said, it's a seed, it's all underground.
Yes.
But I also think for people who want to, even this is for solo and group practices alike, we are in a competitive market, right? So I think luck favors the bold. So are you going to do the kind of same cop-out stuff that everybody else is doing who's afraid? And I get it, but the practices that I've worked with who make their marketing and probably most of their business decisions based on fear, I don't see many of them making it, frankly, and we've worked with lots of people. So it's scary to, I think just working with a marketing agency can be very vulnerable in the sense that you're just kind of putting your trust in someone, which is always scary. You're putting an investment, but also in something that you don't understand.
Yes.
And you're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to hand this off. I get it's terrifying, right? And so I have, you know, endless empathy for that. But if you're making all of your business and marketing decisions out of fear, I think in this market, it's not going to look good for you. Just from my experience, what
I've seen. No. And I mean, the thing that really matters is return on investment, right? Is like, do you actually get back more than you put in? How do you suggest that folks calculate return on investment when it comes to marketing? Knowing that there's maybe like a bunch of different activities that we're doing, how do you think about it?
Tracking.
Yeah.
It's all about tracking. Probably most therapists can set up. It's very cheap. There's a tool called CallRail. It's just like a little line of code on your site. It's really, you know, pretty cheap. The HIPAA compatible plan is a little bit more, but, you know, I know that depends on states and if your marketing itself needs to be more HIPAA compliant. We have a HIPAA compliant plan just to be safe with our clients. But it's really, really advanced, essentially what's called attribution tracking. And that's, I got a lead. How am I attributing this essentially to what marketing channel? So it can track form submissions. If you have kind of like a native form submission, so if you have an embed, like a JOT form or maybe another HIPAA compliant one, CallRail can't track those, but they can always track any calls. And if you have just like an embedded form, Squarespace, Wix, whatever you use, you can see exactly how they found you. So whether it's Google Ads or Google Organic or Psychology Today, or like, oh my gosh, that podcast I did 2 years ago, you know, that kind of thing. So then you can see, okay, I'm putting my money here. Did that, you know, I got a lead, great. But more importantly, did that lead actually become a client?
Yes.
Right. So it's just, a lot of it is just taking the mystery out of it. And there are amazing tools that allow us to do just that. So even if you want to try it out for a couple months, I sometimes say that to my clients, if they don't really want to spend money on the tool, I'm like, just do it for 3 to 6 months. Just so at least you can get a picture of what's going on so that it can guard or guide your future marketing decisions. But that's really what it comes down to, because there are a lot of vanity metrics as well, you know, in marketing. Like, for example, for a lot of our newer services, we don't even offer blogging anymore. And that's, it's been a staple, a standard in SEO for so many years, you do blogging, sure. But we just couldn't attribute enough direct results from it. So we're like, all right, let's just do the content that we know gets clients instead.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's that sort of thing. Like, you can get lots of leads from Google Ads. Are those leads actually turning into something? And if they are, and you're spending, you know, a couple hundred dollars to sign a private pay client, it's like, that sounds pretty good to me, you know, Google Ads. So it really just depends, but knowledge is absolutely what is going to be the best thing for you, because you can guess all you want, but there are tools that can help anyone.
Yeah, and even people's self-report is often not very good. Like, people will often not actually accurately remember where they found you. They're like, oh,
yeah,
I think I found you like on the internet. But you're like, right, but was it the Google Ads you're paying
like,
for?
But I clicked on Psychology Today. And you're like, well, which one was it?
Yeah, I know. So I'm hearing then, if I understand correctly, like CallRail, what it tracks is if someone fills out your form, it will be able to tell you where that person who filled out your form came from. Do I understand
and
that correctly?
As well.
And phone calls. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. How does it
and
track
phone calls?
And
you can do texts too as well. But then you need to get like a legal texting number, and there's a whole bunch of, you know.
Okay. Right. So is that if somebody like is on, I'm going to ask you some beginner questions. So when you say calls, is that because somebody is on their phone looking at your website and then they click the call button from their phone? So it wouldn't work like if I'm looking at a desktop. It doesn't psychically know.
So you can call on desktops, at least mine. So I have a MacBook.
Oh, okay.
And I can click to call and it'll open FaceTime and I can call someone.
Got it.
So it's not going to work in every scenario, I don't think, but it does also track. It originally started as call tracking.
Okay.
So a lot of times it's used, you know, I've experienced in the legal marketing industry, you'd get intakes, you know, record the intake so you can go back and assess the lead. It's pretty amazing all the stuff that you can do.
And what I'm hearing, you know, in terms of that return on investment piece is then you can know where somebody actually came from. So then you can look at how much are you spending on that particular marketing channel that they came from. And then I'm curious, like, when with your clients, do you have a kind of guideline on how many months a client is worth? Like, do you have your group practice owners look at like their average sessions per client? Like,
I ask them to.
Yeah.
We don't always know the answers. So we kind of we're almost kind of helping them adjust how they think about this stuff. Because I think a lot of times business owners, and definitely I've seen this in therapists, marketing is just kind of this checklist item.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to do this. And it's like, no, let's really think about this and see how it's benefiting you and how you're thinking about your business in light of marketing. Because they're like this, you know, they're very, very connected. So I typically recommend your average hourly rate. A lot of times, like a group practice owner's own rate will probably be significantly higher. So I would just like remove them because they're not trying to fill their own caseloads anyway.
Yes,
so
that's true.
I'd remove your rate, take the average of your employees' rates, and then just calculate average sessions. I typically recommend, just because for the most part, the clients that I work with do more depth work. They're usually working with their clients for about at least a year, let's say. So I'll say, okay, maybe 4 sessions were missed, sickness, vacation, whatever. So 11 months, weekly sessions times like 150 or something. So then, you know, your average client value could be 6,000, 8,000. I have some clients where the average client, you know, value is 12,000 or something. And this is before like costs and all that kind of stuff.
It's just revenue.
But just have a sense of the value of someone that you sign generally. You can just like track this in a little CRM and be like, ooh, I signed someone. That's $8,000 headed my way this year. That's so exciting. And I only spent $1,000 on Google Ads, you know, in the past months or however it is. So yeah, that's typically the formula there. It's very simple.
And that's, that's how I think about it too. And that's something that I talk to my group practice owners about. So maybe your group practice owners, just send them to me. I'll help them understand their numbers and develop their financial literacy and confidence. But like looking at those averages and in terms of return on investment, what do you personally see as a good return on investment when it comes to marketing spend?
Yeah. And it's tough to do a percentage, and I actually should think about a good percentage, but I think something that at least like, I mean, because ideally, well, at least with the work that I do, we're not just thinking about your return like in the slot machine sense. It's like, what's your return over years? So I would say double, triple, more. Like it should be, and the bigger the investment, the bigger that return needs to be. Like those things need to be very, very separate. So it depends on like how long you're investing for, how much you're investing, but yeah, big numbers, big returns is really, you know, what you should be going for. But again, those little ad hoc kind of marketing investments that I was referring to before, those are just going to be smaller returns because they're just not as transformational. You know, it's kind of like a little bit of a band-aid approach, a little bit of a slot machine approach, less of I'm investing in this really long-term thing that I know is going to continue to unfold for me for years to come. That's got to be a big, big fun number.
Yes. By fun number, you mean for many therapists, nausea inducing, like a really large number. And I know for us, as we've run ads over the years, we want to see at least double, like at least a 2x return on ad spend. Because also in that number is your team's time and energy and bandwidth. Like there's all these costs that are in there, right? Like it's not like I actually put a dollar in a slot machine and I got two.
Yeah.
Because my team members were working on that instead of something else. And so there's other ways. So at least double is worthwhile. But I'm hearing more is better, obviously,
always,
in terms of return.
Always aim for more. And it's the type of marketing. Some are just higher investment. Again, I think higher risk, higher reward, the bolder you are in a competitive environment, you will get the returns. Again, if you're working with someone that is trusted and has proven results and are very confident, you know, backing that stuff up. But yeah, it depends, but at least double.
Right. Yeah.
It's across the board.
So for folks who are looking to grow their group practices and they're thinking about marketing, what forms of marketing do you find are best?
It's interesting. I'm actually kind of working on this thing right now where if I were to, you know, someone sits down 2 minutes, gives me the lowdown, here's where they're at in practice. What would I actually recommend for them? Because I don't always recommend SEO. I really don't. Like, I don't think it's for everyone, especially not just with how rapidly things are changing. You need to be pretty adaptable. And I think a lot of therapists are just kind of like, I want to do my marketing and then I'll have done it and then it's done and then everything's fine forever.
Check.
Now.
Did it.
Yeah, I did it. Marketing, check. All done. So I think if that's kind of where you're at with marketing, like honestly, SEO is not a good thing for you.
Right.
So I think it depends. I think if you're just starting out, solo practitioner, doing all of kind of like the basic small stuff, getting on all the directories that you can, again, you can track if you are getting a return on those now that everyone knows about CallRail. Track if that's working. I just think, you know, standard networking, and that can also be online if you want to do more like Instagram stuff. Being on the listservs, the Facebook groups, that's kind of like a little like base. So anyone who's like, I'm starting my practice tomorrow or I started in the last 3 months, I'm like, okay, cover your bases. Solo practitioners, I do think Google Ads is a really good spot to be because you do get more of that money in, money back. Is it more expensive per lead? Probably than something like SEO. Like we have a practice, they get like 150 leads a month from SEO or something, right? And they don't spend anything on Google Ads. So it's a lot cheaper to get ads through SEO for them. But with solo practitioners, especially when you're just starting out, I think Google Ads is a good approach because you can really scale the investment to where you are. So with SEO, for example, you kind of just have to go all in. You can't like dip your toes in SEO. It's like you either have to do it or it's just not going to take. Like Google just won't pick up on you if you're not really doing enough and doing the right things. Google Ads, it's like you're basically like paying them to be your friend. You know, and they're like, yeah, I'll be your friend for $500 a month.
Yeah, they're like, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. We'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, SEO is like, sorry, did you say something? Like, you know, like you have to be a little bit more aggressive with SEO. So I think if you're just starting out solo practitioner, trying Google Ads is a great thing. I wouldn't put like a ton of money behind it. Just to try it out, again, work with a company that knows what they're doing, has worked with therapists. That's super, super important in Google Ads. And then I think when you're ready to scale and you're ready to grow, you're ready for sustainable growth that's going to serve you for years to come. You're ready to take on more of that, you know, just the bolder, kind of bigger moves. Then I think SEO is a really good thing. And especially if you're in a really competitive market, Toronto, LA, New York City, Vancouver, these are very competitive markets. So you just kind of have to be ready for more of that kind of thing. But again, how many practices can say, oh, I got 150 leads just from Google this month?
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm hearing that SEO is kind of the, I'm trying to think of the right analogy for it. Like I kind of have a vague visual of it, but it's like, you're really kind of like reorganizing the whole house when you do SEO, where you can't just do like a little. It's like, you really have to go in. So I'm hearing that if you're a practice that's new, it's not going to make sense for you to make that kind of huge investment. But if you're a group that's scaling and looking to be around, that's a good long-term investment that you can make because you'll just keep showing up on those search engines.
If you're less competitive, I think you can get away with less. Even as a solo practitioner, you can just do less. But, you know, if we have someone coming to us again in one of these hyper-competitive markets, it's like, this is the minimum, you know, of what we have to be doing just to make a dent. So I think it depends on where you're located.
Yeah.
As well. I will say that's an important contextual factor.
Sure. Of course. Like how many hundreds of therapists are within a couple miles
of you?
And
how much are they spending? And yeah, how much yes. are they trying, right?
All
so
of
and
that.
That's where we get into like the competitive market. It's not just about how competitive Google might be. How much are other therapists around you also doing this? And that's really where the competition comes from.
Yeah. And I find that in the meta ad space, which is where we've hung out, you also end up with that competition in the market because there's just limited ad space. So it's like when it comes to be like Black Friday, now I'm competing with like Walmart and Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're just going to stop our ads because like we can't outspend massive multi-billion dollar companies. But yeah, there's kind of only so much billboard space on the internet, right? There's only so many things can be at the top. So depending on how competitive it is where you are, or if in the case of like meta ads, there's only limited spaces, like you're reaching people all over North America, that is also going to determine what your spend is going to have to look like.
100%.
Yeah. Christy, this has been so informative. Thank you so much. For folks who are interested in learning more about you and the work that you folks do with therapists, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can head over to our website at therapyseo.com. And actually, probably when this episode comes out, we will be under our new name, which is Place Digital. So placedigital.com. That'll take you to where you need to be. Reach out. We'd be happy to, you know, take a look at what you have going on and make that recommendation. We're very honest. We often refer to ourselves as the bad news bears because we might tell you what other marketing consultants wouldn't. So we'll always recommend what we think is actually going to work for you. And in some cases, it might not be our services. And we're happy to connect you with other people that we think that can help you out. But yeah, I hope this was helpful. My bad news bears approach, you know, someone's got to do it.
So. Well, we are grateful that you are taking that, falling on that sword for us. Thank you so much, Christy, for joining me today. I really appreciate Christy bringing her marketing expertise onto the podcast today. Marketing is not always our favorite thing to do as therapists, but is a non-negotiable. And as she said, sometimes we might be riding the benefit of certain things that we have in place already, like our reputation or some piece of marketing that we did that had a big
impact. We might be benefiting from it, but eventually, you know, everything that we do kind of runs out of steam. And so we need to be thinking continually about how we are putting ourselves out there in the world and getting found, you know, through SEO, through ads. There's so many other marketing activities we can do. And I love her point about just saying zoomed out and thinking about where do I want to be in 5 years, right? Marketing should not be a reactive thing. It should not be the thing that we're doing and we're like, oh no, we have no clients. It should be, you know, to use the analogy that I mentioned, planting seeds continually and seeing what comes up, right? But putting regular effort into putting ourselves out there, putting a regular investment into putting ourselves out there to keep our name top of mind for those people who really need to find us and really need to work with us. And especially for group practices, to keep your group practice top of mind for everybody, not just you, but your group practice, so that you have that continual stream of folks coming in the door to, you know, keep your clinicians full month after month after month. And these things do take continual, sustained effort. So I so appreciate Christy's perspective on us taking perspective on our businesses and thinking big picture, not just what do we need to do now to make the next month a good month, but what are the marketing activities we need to do now to make the next few years good years. So thank you to Christy for joining us today. I'm Lindsay Bonham, therapist turned money coach and creator of Money Skills for Therapists. If you're ready to go from money confusion and shame to feeling clear and empowered, my free on-demand masterclass is the best place to start. You'll learn my four-step framework to get your private practice finances finally working for you. Register today using the link in the show notes or go to moneynutsandbolts.com under masterclass. I look forward to supporting you.